What's up, everybody? We have 10 minutes here with Mr. Ruben Alexson, fresh out of the deer blind. So Mark and I look woefully underdressed at the moment.
Yes, yes. Ruben was like, hey, can you edit the blood out of my pants? I'm like, can we edit
it
in?
Blood
for God's sake, you got a giant in the back of your pickup
right
now.
Push the plus button. So Ruben, though, so kindly is joining us after shooting a gigantic buck to talk about spotting scope eyepieces. And there are a number of different choices that you can make, especially in, as of right now, at the time of this recording, we've got a couple of options for our Razor spotting scope, specifically the 85 millimeter. We'll get into that in a little bit, as well as the larger of the Viper HD spotting scopes, some with reticles in them, some that are just long eye relief, wide angle, I mean, stuff like that. So, Rube, what do you use the different eyepieces all the time? Because you do courses here for long range shooting, even stuff for your 3-gun matches, whatnot. I know you're a lot of times using those reticle eyepieces. How do you determine which eyepiece is going to go into your spotting scope at which time? And then, we'll also dive in on a few of the logistical things around it,
too. Why would somebody need an eyepiece other than the zoom eyepiece that comes with their Vortex spotting scope?
Right. So, let's first talk about what usually comes with the spotting scope. Usually, you get a variable-powered eyepiece.
Yep. Yeah, so with any of the spotting scopes that we sell, you guys know they're going to come with a zoom eyepiece, right? Mm-hmm. So when you see your magnification numbers, your 20 to 60 by 85 or your 27 to 60, that's referring to the zoom range. So the first number being the low end, the highest number being the high end, and then the 85 or the objective number there at the end. So when you get a spotting scope and take it out of the box, you have this zoom eyepiece. And even though like our Gentoo Razor spotting scopes are a wide angle optical system, which you can see because their magnification numbers are actually a little higher on the low end, but we can accomplish the same field of view that you would have on like a 20 power with a 27 power since it's a wide angle system.
Gotcha. I think that's really important to point out that a person isn't losing field of view by having that higher low end of the magnification. Follow that one, everybody.
Yeah. So east side of the West Coast.
I always kind of like to say there's like the downside to magnification, right? Which is decreased field of view, because as you increase, and that's rifle scopes, spotting scopes, anything that has a variable magnification, one of the only downsides to the magnification is that you have decreased field of view as you zoom in. So think of it this way. If field of view didn't decrease, we would all have very high magnification systems. It would be like having a giant screen TV and standing 5 feet in front of it.
Which I've done. Eric's got a picture.
But, that is the thing.
But since the field of view decreases as we zoom in, that's kind of one of those, reasons why maybe you would look at a wide angle system or even so, lower magnification spotting scope like the 16 to 48 or a 22 to 48.
If a person doesn't own a spotter but you have shot a magnified rifle scope, I mean, you can get probably a pretty dramatic, picture of what's happening there. When you zoom in real far, your field of view shrinks down. Sometimes you got to back it off. You want to try to locate an animal or something like that.
So I think zoom can be awesome for a lot of things. I mean, for a law enforcement or military application, it's that positive identification. For a hunter, it's the same thing, but how many tines, how wide is it? Is it a legal deer? I mean, is it worth making this 2-mile hike? And then, again, not to mention that distance. If you're out in a wide open place and you're looking at a herd of elk and you're trying to determine if it's something you're going to go after, you probably want higher magnification. You probably want a bigger objective so that image is as good and bright or high quality as it can be.
Well, and with that much zoom, are there even elk over there? Right?
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of weeks ago, I had a 65 Razor, the wide angle, and about 3 miles was like kind of our max of what we could see to determine, like, is it worth going there?
And that has a top end magnification of
48.
Yep.
48.
Yep. 22 to 48.
Now, one of the interesting thing about spotting scopes and the way that their eyepieces work, and we'll have, I think, a later podcast or a podcast at a later date to go into exactly how they work, but the eyepiece can detach from the body of the spotting scope. And so in a way, you almost have two optics that are attached to one another, because depending on what eyepiece you put behind the body, it can dramatically change what you're seeing.
Yeah, so think about, like, if not to use this example, but think about like a line like the Razor Gen 2, right? We have a 1 to 6, we have a 3 to 18, and a 4.5 to 27. The eyepieces on those are all very similar. They're all shaped very similarly, right? So in my, what I know about rifle scopes is the zoom is contained back in the eyepiece, right? So when you run that magnification ring, that erector assembly moves the zoom lenses back and forth, and they create this, they have this relationship between each other, which will increase or decrease the size of the image. So the image is coming in the objective, and it's kind of, it's displayed, I guess, and then you're looking at that image through a zoom assembly. Mm-hmm. So what we can do with a spotting scope is the eyepiece is actually the same, right? If you look at the body here on the 27-60, and then if we took the 22-48, put it next to each other, this eyepiece, the zoom eyepiece, actually has both numbers printed on it.
Because it's the same eyepiece, same with eyepiece. Different bodies. One is the 85 millimeter, one's the 65 millimeter, yeah.
Yep. So we can then take that and have other eyepieces that will fit that optic, and sometimes those can be very specific application.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorites is this wide angle, long eye relief. It's a real simple eyepiece. It projects your, I shouldn't say projects because I don't know the actual term, but it has long eye relief. So your eye is actually going to be somewhere between a half an inch and an inch away from that optic to get that optimal field of view. It's really nice because I don't have to touch my eye to it every time or touch my eye to an eyepiece. And it's very forgiving too. We talk about eye box, right?
Mm-hmm.
On a rifle scope, like the 1-6 or the 1-10 or something like that, the very forgiving eye box, you can move your head side to side. The wide angle eyepieces are not very sensitive. That long eye relief gives you kind of a very forgiving eye box.
Usually, so it's actually really difficult to get both long eye relief and wide angle,
yes.
Which anybody who's not an optical engineer, that you just kind of hear, oh, it's got both, great. But if you actually go into the optics of it, designing that is a really difficult feat to do. And it does make it nice if your spotting scope's on a bench next to you, being that you're behind the gun, you shoot, you don't have to now crane, you know, kind of get up and get uncomfortable and lean over the gun and try and get your face right into the spotting scope. You can more just set it up and kind of look up and glance over. You have to get somewhat close, but you don't have to crane yourself over the gun to get
absolutely
an image.
Yeah, and I think like the reticle eyepieces, to my knowledge, again, very similar. They just have a reticle in them. A leveling feature where you twist the eyepiece to level the reticle, and then they also have a diopter adjustment to get that reticle nice and clear.
Sure.
But they have that same long eye relief and the same very forgiving eye box behind them. So in my experience is, like, if I'm going to be sitting at a range, which we do quite a bit, and as, like, one of the people who isn't pulling the trigger most of the day, I'm looking through a spotting scope or binoculars, so that fatigue that we get, like, you know, all we talk about it all day sitting behind a spotting scope. That's why we use tripod binos instead of spotters when we're glassing the whole side of the hill. I find that the reticle eyepiece or the wide-angle eyepiece is just so much easier on your eyes when you're doing it all day.
You're just a little bit more relaxed while you're,
yeah.
You know, and you're talking about optics that have phenomenal glass, essentially,
yes.
That I'd set next to anything that's out there, but you're exercising your eyes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ruben, with these accessory eyepieces here, you know, we're talking about the zoom eyepiece earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these don't have a zoom, right?
Right. These are going to be either fixed at 18 power, and I'll speak in terms of the Razor right now. We do have the Viper reticle eyepieces too, but in terms of the Razor, if you put this long eye relief wide angle on the 22-48, it's going to be an 18 power. And if you put it on the 85 mil body, it's going to be a 22 power. So
mm-hmm.
significantly lowered magnification. But you guys know out at Coonrock with the Big Valley and all the targets, I can actually set this eyepiece or the reticle eyepiece where I can see the whole field. And
right.
I think another thing that I found increases a lot is that depth of field. So mm-hmm. if I focus that on the 200 yard target, I probably won't really have to change my zoom or my focus even out to like that 800 to 1,000 yard target.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that depth of field is really good too.
And people, it is a matter so often with magnification of FOMO, right? So once you get a spotting scope, like an 85 millimeter Razor spotting scope here, that's normally a 27-60 power. Once you've seen, oh, it can be 27-60, and then you go to fixed 22 power, you're like, oh, I'm missing out. Like, you guys really, you know, it's like, what happened there?
Yeah.
But I mean, all you need to do is go to a range anytime and set your variable powered optic that maybe even goes up to just 9 power. Set it at 9, 10 power and look through the optic at 1,000 yards. You can see the targets, you know, mm-hmm. shooting at steel, whatever. You can see them clear as day. And so, like, even with 22 power, when it's wide angle and you have that big field of view, it's plenty of magnification to see everything. I mean, you can see.
And your exit pupil actually increases too. So mm-hmm. think of 85, think of 22 power, your exit pupil is basically at about 4, mm-hmm. right? So that's huge too. Now it's a, I guess brighter isn't the right term, but it's a
right.
more more resolution. It appears brighter. So looking through it, that like you're looking at an image that's not being significantly darkened mm-hmm. by a spotting scope. I mean, like we need, I think Ryan always kind of talks about the whole like optical quality over optical quantity, yep. right? He kind of coined that term. One thing, it's like step away from the mindset that more power is always better. Like if one hamburger is better, then three must be even better than that. Like,
well, at Culver's, that is true.
That's actually, yeah, it's a terrible analogy.
Yeah, I don't know what's like for there.
I'm going to be honest. Ruben, that's breaking down immediately.
Yeah.
Let's go to Culver's. Yeah, can we figure out like a
can we get a commercial break?
Better analogy? Anyway.
No, but I 100% see what you're getting at right. there. You know, one thing that I was thinking about with that also is, like you said, you got this more is better, and we've talked about this before, but when even shooting, we're not just talking about like spotting something or being able to, you know, at shooting at like 1,000 yards, 1,200 yards, I'm generally on about 18 power.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Don't need a ton of magnification. We should talk a little bit about the reticle eyepieces too before we wrap it up. A reticle eyepiece for a spotter is going to be calibrated to one spotting scope. So if it's a reticle mm-hmm. eyepiece, we're talking about having that reticle reference to reference the target. So when, you know, Jim's shooting and you're spotting, we don't have to say, you were like 2.5 targets left and one target low. I mean, Jim, not that you would miss the target, but if you, in a world where you did.
Yeah. Another dumb analogy.
Yes, dude, come on. Yeah, Mark can measure it. He can measure where your shot hit versus where you aimed and say, mm-hmm. okay, I need you to come left 1 mil and down 0.5 mil.
Or mm-hmm. MOA for using the old MOAs.
Yep. If we're shooting 308.
Right.
But
something antiquated.
They are going to be specific to a magnification or to a body. So you're gonna want to make sure that if you're gonna pick up that reticle eyepiece, that you make sure you have one of the 85 spotters. Mm-hmm. For us, not necessarily for other brands, but for us, it's gonna be an 85 Razor, an 85 Viper, and you'll buy it in MOA or MRAD. Mm-hmm. And they're incredibly helpful for calling corrections. So, yeah. And you know, there's other things you can do with them too. I mean, if you know the distance of the target and you know how much it measures in MOA or mils, you could hypothetically measure if the requirement was you need a 50-inch bowl to be legal, you could measure that with a reticle eyepiece too. If you know the mm-hmm. range and you know how much it measures, you could actually go back and be like, oh yeah, it's actually 53-inch bowl.
Make sure you're real good at that before you start. It's like, my reticle is telling me it's a 50.5-inch, it's like, well, maybe you...
Hey, pro tip though, you can also do that with your rifle scope if you have somewhat of a technical reticle.
It's true. Mm-hmm.
It's true. Mm-hmm.
Again, that's a hypothetical. Don't necessarily encourage going out there and trying to do that. But that's in application, that's that reverse kind of formula where we're taking a known distance and a known mil value or MOA value, and then we can actually work backwards to get the size of the target.
Yep. Yeah. They're super handy. And you know, keep in mind also, like, if you have like all MOA rifle scopes, you're going to want to get the MOA eyepiece. If you've got, you know...
Yeah, or your all your shooting buddies are all shooting one thing. Yeah, it's good to be on the same language. One thing that I think is worth mentioning as well is people do ask about, you know, why is it only available for the 85s? Why can't I get it for the 65, etc.? And this is just a matter of a kind of a dollars and cents thing in some regards. It's just the fact that reticle eyepieces aren't something that every single person needs.
Yeah,
and so generally speaking, it's a little bit more of a niche product that we make because the people who need them, they absolutely want them. But if you don't need one, or if you don't feel yourself constantly wishing that you had a reticle in front of your field of view to reference and give corrections or calls, there's no reason to get one by any means if you're that person. So with that said, it's not like we, you know, sell the crap out of reticle eyepieces. Yeah. And so we have to kind of pick one spotting scope body to go with. Generally speaking, most people using reticle eyepieces, they're at the range. They're not hucking it around in the mountains where they need a smaller, lighter spotting scope. They want to have as much magnification as possible. So they're going to be going with the 85 to begin with. if you stuck this on a 65, so again, we're talking mostly about the Razor here because that's the reticle eyepiece that's been around for the longest. But let's say you stuck this reticle eyepiece that's a fixed 22 power on the 85 mil spotting scope, stick it on the 65, it's not that you're just going to get blackness. Like, you're going to see an image, and it's going to actually be that probably really 18x image like you would get with a regular non-reticle eyepiece that can go on the 65 or the 85. The problem is that the reticle inside, much like second focal plane reticles are calibrated to one particular magnification within the range of a rifle scope, that reticle is calibrated to be at the proper, what's the word?
It's a scale to
the image at 22 power. So if it's at 18 power, it will be off. And then any corrections you're giving will just be wrong.
Yeah,
so,
it's like, I think it's like a 1.2 value because you're decreasing the magnification. So it's the same as if you have a rifle scope and you decrease magnification on a second focal plane that's calibrated at the highest. You decrease that from 22 to 18, I think you go to like a 1.2 reticle value.
Right.
So I've actually done it where you take a reticle eyepiece, put it on a 65, but now your reticle isn't true. You just have to do another equation.
Yeah. It's like a second focal plane rifle scope calibrated 24 power. If you go down to 12 power, which is half, then now you're doubling all the values that you would get in your reticle. So it's, you know, it's just not as quick and intuitive.
No, but. And that's the thing is, like, Jim, you hit it on the head when you said it's kind of a more specialized tool. It's probably not the first thing that flies off the shelf, but it's definitely one of those. I'll say this, like, I'm a firm believer, if you put that wide angle long eye relief on a 16 to 48 or 22 to 48 or a 27 to 60, you probably won't take it off very often.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was going to say, Jim. This is one of those optics or pieces that if you haven't used one, you don't know what you're missing. Once you use these, it truly is, for lack of a better term, like eye-opening. You're like, oh my gosh, these things are actually amazing. I mean, I think they're well worth it, particularly if you are doing a lot of range time, either the wide angle or the reticle eyepiece, depending on your needs. But once you use it, man, you love it. And then if you go, not that the zoom piece is bad, but for specific applications, these things just shine. Then you go back to, and you're like, man, I wish I had that reticle in there.
Yes.
And I'd be curious. I haven't done it. I think I might try the experiment, Jim. I'd really like to glass with the wide-angle eyepiece.
Yeah,
and for just, sure.
I have that 65 and the 18 power wide-angle. Mm-hmm. So think 18 power UHDs.
Right.
All I'm doing is I'm going from a 56 objective to a 65 objective, so it's actually a little brighter even so.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
All right, we got to cut this before we hit 20 minutes. My, then the screen goes blood red.
It flashes.
Oh, it's bad. Okay.
We've been at red alert for 8 minutes and 38 seconds.
We have been. Thanks for listening, everybody. Let us know if you have any questions about eyepieces and all that stuff that go into spotting scopes. Like we said, stay tuned and let us know stuff you'd want to hear in a future, later episode, all about, you know, everything about how spotting scopes work and whatnot. Okay, I'm sweating. Let's go. Bye.
Bye.
See ya.